you have your Bible with you this morning, please do turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 10 through to 4, and chapter verse 8. I wonder if anyone has ever said anything to you, not out of malice or vindictiveness, but out of genuine concern, and it was not what you wanted to hear. Has that ever happened to you? But on reflection, maybe an hour later, maybe a day later, maybe weeks later, maybe a month, maybe years later, on reflection later on, you recognize it was the thing that you needed to hear. Initially, perhaps, when they were being honest with you and it pointed out something that you were blind to or a character trait that needed to change, it hurt. When you heard someone being honest with you, it hurt. It hurt deep inside. Because no one likes to hear something about themselves that is difficult or something that requires change. We like to be affirmed, don't we? We sometimes don't like to be challenged. But also wonder, if we look back on that occasion when someone was honest with us, and we realise that though it's not what we wanted to hear, that it is what we needed to hear, and that it helped us. That in the long run, it was for our good. And some people will testify to this being the case in the Christian life. For many have testified that before they came to Christ, and before Jesus came into their life, that the thing that they wanted most in their life was possessions, prestige, power, all these different things. I want family, I want a house, whatever it might be. But they suddenly realized that was not the thing that they needed. It was when Christ came into their life that they realized that that hole deep inside, that longing in their heart, was fulfilled only in Jesus. Now, during our last few weeks, thinking about Paul's second letter to Timothy, we've thought about some pretty meaty themes, haven't we? We've seen how Paul is constantly encouraging Timothy not to be timid, but to stand for the gospel, no matter what the cost might be, to live out his life for Christ and to disciple others, and not to be misled by anyone, but to stand for the truth. And we do see some similar themes coming up in our passage today. You see, Paul begins this part of the letter by reminding Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus will be persecuted. Now note here that Paul says that with great certainty, doesn't he? There is no doubt about this. This is a certainty for Paul. You see, for Paul, the Christian life is not a life of ease. It's not a life of comfort. It's standing for the truth, even when that is unpopular, even when that is difficult. It's expecting suffering, as Paul himself is finding as he writes to Timothy from prison. This is the reality. That's what Paul is saying here. And Paul wants to make this clear to Timothy to encourage him that suffering doesn't mean failure. It doesn't mean, Timothy, you know, because you're suffering, because this is hard, because you're being persecuted for your faith, because it seems like you're just walking through treacle in your faith, that doesn't mean that God is not with you. In fact, the converse is probably true. Actually shows God is there with you, that you're doing the right thing, that you're going in the right direction. Indeed, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus will be persecuted. That's what it says in this passage. And that's not to say that we go out and we seek after persecution. But it is being aware that if Jesus suffered, as he did, He suffered and died on the cross. That's the basis of our faith. That's the center of our faith. Then we too will suffer. And we are simply to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Timothy then is to endure. He's not to shrink back, but he is to keep going. And as he does so, he's to continue in what he's learned and become convinced of. He's not to neglect this teaching, because Timothy knows the people that he's been taught by. I remember right at the beginning of this letter, when Paul gives thanks for Eunice and Lois, his mother and grandmother. And very much it seems as though Timothy has been brought up in the faith. What a wonderful thing. He's known those who have taught him. They've been in his very own family. He's not to neglect this teaching. And he's to hold on to the scriptures that he's known from infancy. He's to hold on to them because they will make him wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, obviously here, when Paul is speaking about the scriptures, he's speaking here about what we would know as the Old Testament. The New Testament, as we know it now, would be in its infancy. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, hold on, Paul. How does the Old Testament, with its law, its history, its prophets, all those difficult things in Leviticus and in Ezekiel, how does that speak about Jesus? Poor Timothy doesn't even have the Gospels written down yet. But do you remember on Easter Sunday? Do you remember Easter Sunday evening? Do you remember those two disciples who were on the Emmaus Road? And how they met with the risen Jesus? And do you remember what Jesus did as he walked along with them? It says at the end of Luke's Gospel that when they were walking along, starting with Moses and then all the prophets, he explained all that had happened concerning himself, Jesus, until those two disciples, their hearts were burning within them. You see, the Bible tells us, and the Old Testament tells us, all about Jesus. The entirety of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, it has that unity. Even though it's written over so many years by different human authors, it's God-breathed, as Paul says here. The scriptures are God speaking. And it's through the scriptures that Timothy knows the truth. It's through the scriptures that he will be thoroughly equipped. And it's through the scriptures that we too will be equipped. It's through the scriptures that we know what God has to say. It's through the scriptures that we think God's thoughts after him. You see, it's through the Bible that we get guidance and help. And as it says here, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. And that has not changed. You see, what Paul is not saying to Timothy here is, hold to a truth, whatever you might think that would be. You know, just make up the truth. Whatever the truth is for you, just hold to that. What Paul is saying here is, hold to the truth. And how do you know what the truth is? Well, it's found in the scriptures. That's what Paul's saying here. The scriptures, which are God-breathed. Hold to that truth that you've been taught from infancy by people that you trust. And we too are to hold to that truth. Not an approximation of the truth. Not something that we make up in our own minds or something that we think God might be like. We're to be grounded in God's word. That we know what God is saying to us. That's why we lay importance on reading the Bible each Sunday in church. That's why I always say to you in church, generally speaking, please turn back to the passage which I'm speaking from. Because I don't want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to hear what God says, which is infinitely more important. We're to think God's thoughts after him. So Timothy is to hold to the God-breathed scriptures. And he's given a charge by Paul to preach the word in season and out of season to correct, rebuke and encourage. Now sometimes if we're honest, we want to be out of season as Christians, don't we? We want to be out of season. Occasionally I go to the barber and I go and get my hair cut, usually at a place where they don't know I'm a minister. And I don't know, you all know what it's like to go to the hairdresser or the barber, and you go in and, you know, with a barber you can just turn up, okay? So you go in and you sit down in the chair and you put this lovely robe around you, whatever it is, wheat union, and you start cutting your hair. You ask what you want, so you have 3 on the side, 5 at the top, perfect, that's fine, because all men speak in numbers when it comes to hairdressing. And as you sit in the chair, there's that usual bit of chat, isn't there? From the person that's cutting your hair, the weather, oh, it's terrible, you know, it's raining outside, oh, it's really cold for August, isn't it? But we've had a good summer this year, okay, so it's that kind of thing. Then it'll be holidays, oh, you've been away this year, it'll be that kind of thing. Then a bit about the family, maybe. But for me, there's always that pause in the conversation, and the inevitable question comes, are you not working today? Yes, I'm working. And I say, well, you know, just going from one place to another, this is my lunch break. Well, that's nice, that's lovely. And then it's back to the desk, is it? Well, something like that. And then the question always comes, so what is it you do then? Now, at that point in the conversation, it's tempting sometimes just to say, I'm a clerical worker, or I work in the care profession, or something like that. Because sometimes you just want your hair cut. You don't want to say you're a minister, because you know the inevitable questions or comments will come. You just say, look, you don't look like a minister. Or you look very young for a minister, that's less and less these days. Sometimes those questions will come. Now I'm exaggerating slightly here, but I've known ministers who don't tell anybody on holiday what they do just so they can get a bit of peace. As Christians, we are not to do that. You see, there's no use in just being a Christian on a Sunday, but not the rest of the week. There's no use sometimes being a Christian on duty, and sometimes not. Paul is saying to Timothy here, in season, out of season, be prepared. Preach the word. In other words, Timothy, don't be caught out. Don't be caught short. Always know what you believe. Always be trusting in the scriptures. Always preach the truth. Now, why does Paul emphasize this? Well, of course, it brings us back, doesn't it, to what we began with today. Because the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. They'll simply gather around their teachers to say what their itching ears will want to hear. In other words, the time will come when people don't want to hear the truth. They just want to hear their own thoughts verified, whether that be the truth or not. They want to hear myths rather than what they need, which is the truth. And of course, that's come to pass, hasn't it? In our own day, people very much make up a God in their own image. Someone or something of their own desiring rather than the true God which they need. And sadly, this happens even in church. Sometimes churches and ministers or pastors or priests are under pressure only to preach the nice things, what people want, not what people need. And if people don't hear what they want, then that minister or pastor is liable to be voted out, if that's the polity of the church denomination that they're in. You see, sometimes the truth is not easy to hear, but it's necessary. And yes, it does need to be the truth in love, but it still needs to be the truth. You see, if we believe that God is there, if we believe that God still speaks today, then why would we not want to hear his voice? Why would we not want to hear his rebuke and his correction if that's what's needed? You see, I don't know about you, but I don't want myths. I don't want fake news. I don't want a fake God. I need the truth. I need the living God. This is the deepest longing of our souls. You see, when we know the truth, and when we follow it, then it's all worthwhile. Because as we see here with Paul, though he has suffered, though he's been persecuted, though he's been poured out like a drink offering, note what he says at the end of the passage, as he thinks the end of his life is drawing near. What does he say? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. You see, for Paul here, there is a deep satisfaction that Paul has held to the truth, that he has done what he's been called to do by God. When you finish something, there is satisfaction, isn't there? Finishing a room that you've been meaning to decorate for years and years, and finally, it's done. There's satisfaction. And Paul knows the satisfaction of having served the Lord and completed his call. And so he looks forward to the reward, the crown of righteousness, awarded to all who are faithful and who wait upon the Lord. What about you today? Are you running the race? Are you fighting the good fight? Are you holding to the truth? Or if you're honest, has your zeal gone? Are you more an out-of-season Christian than a full-time one? I encourage all of us today, let's hold to the truth, God's word. Let's be prepared at all times. Let's not be a people who get our heads turned by myths or for fantasies. Yes, at times it's difficult being a Christian. Yes, at times it's difficult hearing the Lord rebuke you or correcting you. But why does he do it? He does it because he loves us. And he wants the best for us. Why does a teacher give corrections to do when the answer's wrong? It's hopefully not out of vindictiveness. You got it wrong. You have to do it all again. Hopefully they're not like that. They give us corrections so that next time we do it right. It's for our good. You see, God loves us more than we could ever know or understand. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to stand for it. May we do so. And may we say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this day. And we thank you for the encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy. That Timothy is to stand firm. It's to stand firm on your word, which is God-breathed. It's to stand firm on the teaching he's received from those that he knows, that he's known all his life. He's not to turn one way or another. He's not to be distracted by myths. He's not to feel the pressure just to preach what people want to hear. He's to preach the word in season and out of season, always to be prepared. And Lord God, in our own lives, we pray that we would be full-hearted Christians. That we would not just be Sunday Christians or Christians part of the week, but at all times, we would be able to give an answer to the hope that we have to those who ask. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Your word that speaks deep into our hearts. We thank you that your word is the truth and it is what we need. And yes, it can be painful to be corrected or rebuked at times. And yet we recognize that you do that for us out of love. Because you are our Heavenly Father and we are your children. So Heavenly Father, we ask that we would hold to you this day, that we would fight the good fight, that we would finish the race, that we would keep the faith. So Father, speak to us through your word this day, we pray. In Jesus' name.